Welcome to Illuminated, the 12 Months of I podcast. This month, we're diving into the theme of investment with our special guest, Sherry Traxler. Sherry is an author, speaker, podcast host, and coach who helps busy professionals create extraordinary energy, calm the chaos, and break up with diets for good. Her clients enjoy work, family, and fun with real energy and freedom. She is the author of Go Forward, 28 Days to Eat, Move, and Enjoy Life God's Way, and the creator of the Nourish Your Life Nutrition Course. Sherry also hosts the Real Wellness Podcast, designed for driven, busy professionals. In addition, she works with companies to create wellness cultures so teams can think better, feel better, and get more done. Sherry has a wealth of knowledge as a certified personal trainer and health coach, nutrition specialist, and intuitive eating counselor, working with major companies and universities. Join us as we explore the concept of investment with Sherry Traxler and learn how to invest in your health, wellness, and overall life satisfaction. Welcome to the show, Sherry. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for that fabulous introduction. And I love that we just roll with things on this show. That's awesome.
Hey, you know, we were talking right before we got to recording that it is summer break. We are, you know, in the midst of summer break right now, and I've got my kids home and a dog. So who knows what will happen? But what I love about you is that you embrace that.
Yes.
That is part of, like, I've got a little gnat flying around and driving me insane, just so you know, if I'm watching it. But I think that's what's really important about what investment is and why maybe this was a little crazy for people to be like, investment, money, finances, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you got to invest in you first.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And we're bringing Sherry here to tell you how to do that. So tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to wanting to help people invest in themselves.
Okay. So you've talked about a little bit of it, of the things that I like to do from a nutrition standpoint, exercise, wellness overall. But one of the things that really brought me to this was my own journey. And that was, I've gone through adrenal fatigue twice. I have gone through feeling like I cannot get out of bed. I cannot function. And yeah, being, it's like you can have dreams, you can have things that you want to do. But if you're not investing in yourself in the right ways, it's forget everything else. You can't do it. You can't show up the way you want to in relationships. You can't show up the way that you want to in your business, in your life. And it's like, yeah, that's one of the big reasons I'm passionate about it is what I've gone through. And then also what my clients are experiencing as they go, okay, wow, cool. I've got energy now. Or I'm a keynote speaker. And so when people in the audience, I love it when I get emails after, like there was one conference last year I spoke at that a week after there were like five people who emailed me saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm feeling so much better and I'm getting so much more stuff done. And it's so, so rewarding to invest in yourself.
So investing in yourself, I think a lot of times is difficult. One of my mantras that I'm starting to really, really, you know, take on is, you know, put your oxygen mask on first before others.
Yes.
This is a really, really hard concept to do when you have children, you have a family, you have a business, you have all this, that they all need your attention. Mm-hmm. So do you. Mm-hmm. How do you train people or get their mindset to change that it is really important to really put your mask on first?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love this question. It's one is embracing that this is what is going to make the difference. Like there was one gentleman that I worked with that as we dug into his why, as we dug into the reason he wanted to invest in his wellness, was because, I'll just take you through the scenario of, and we can even do this for you, of you think first of why do you want to do this wellness thing? And a lot of times the first thing somebody's mind goes to is prevention. Well, preventing disease 30 years from now is not a big motivator to get up and do what is going to make you feel better to do, you know, even immediately. So we have to start digging into the whys. And as you dig into the why, and like for him, it was, you know, why do you want to exercise? Like, well, because I want to feel better and be healthier. Okay, why do you want that? Well, so that I can get more stuff done. Okay, why do you want that? Well, he owned his own business so that he could make more money. Kind of like when I was going through adrenal fatigue. Yeah, you can't get anything up and running if you're going through that. So as we got deeper and deeper into his whys, Debbie, the bottom one for him, the deepest one for him was he wanted to buy a large plot of land to build homes on it for his family forever, like great grandkids that he would never even know, that they would always have a place to come to. So at that point, it became, okay, it's Thursday afternoon and you don't really feel like going for a walk or your workout. And he's like, no, that's not the question anymore. It's, do I want to leave this legacy for my kids? So first step of getting into making this investment for yourself is understanding your own big why. Is it something big dream like that? Or is it like another client who she was heading toward burnout. She was heading toward where I had been. She had all the things going. And she realized, I'm not going to be able to keep this up if, to use your phrase, if I don't put my oxygen mask on first. So first off is understanding your own why this is important to you, not as a prevention for 30, 40 years from now, but why is this important to you as an investment that's going to have an ROI for you much sooner, if not immediate, and immediate meaning within even a week. So that's kind of step one is the why. Before I go into other things, what any response to that?
Well, I think it's really interesting because when you said, you know, we're talking about investment and we sometimes like, oh, I have my money. I have to invest it for it to grow. We, you know, I have a business. I have to invest in it for it to do well. I have this and that. We always think about investment in these ethereal things. These things, mm-hmm. not ethereal, but things that are out there outside of ourselves. And it's really interesting how we always kind of put ourselves last for that investment. And one of the things that I've named my days. It was one thing I learned at a conference, a huge conference that actually spurred all of this, the permission slip conference.
Love it.
And one of the things this lady said, you should come with me. We're going to Knoxville in November. I'll send you the invite. But it is amazing because she talked about just theming your days. Like my Monday is marketing Monday. I work as much as I can on that. I don't take appointments, blah, blah. My CEO day is Tuesday where I really do my CEO work and all that. Wednesday and Thursday is networking and dealing and doing stuff with clients. But my Fridays is personal growth day.
Oh, I love
that. Sometimes
I
have to, and I know it sounds great in theory a lot of the time. Sometimes I have to take appointments, but you know, that's the day I'm like, today, you know, I want to have lunch with a person I haven't had lunch with. I want to get a massage. I need to get my hair done. I want to take a day where my kids are off and we're going to go to Nashville Shores. Those are the days for my personal growth. It may not be the growth of my company, but I am my company.
Yes.
And investing in myself. And I never even thought, like everyone talks about that 4-day work week and how it's impossible. It's like, it's just the way you schedule it. Yeah. Do I have to get up on a Saturday sometimes and I have to write an article or whatever, or I have to, yes. Mm-hmm. But those Fridays are like my sanctuary days.
But let me speak to your Saturday getting up and writing that article. We are not robots. Your brain is what is creating that article. If it's not refreshed, it's going to take you 3 hours to write what would take you 30 minutes. So by taking that Friday, you're actually saving yourself time in the long run.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. That is like the day where I write my blogs. Like I literally get up before everybody on a Saturday morning and I have my mom's Somnia blog. Mm-hmm. I don't know if many people know about this, but it's like the things that keep you up at night, all my mom stuff that is separate from business, but also, you know, integrated in it. And those are the days where I'm like Saturday morning sitting around after my meditation and I write. And some weeks I don't, and some weeks I do. It's not like I promised anybody anything. This is something that's from my heart. And I think when you think about things like that, that are important to you, then it makes such a huge difference. And I love that you said, you know, you talked about your clients who just like went so deep in that why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have other, like what happens next? I'm really curious because one of the things that's really interesting to me, especially about the wellness is going into, you know, I'll be in my late 40s soon and going into changes and hormonal stuff and weight gain. And how image and diet and investing in yourself, like I hate working out. I have to be honest, like put me in a class, put me in gymnastics, whatever I can do active, mm-hmm. I would love to do, but making me go to the gym and work out, like, no, it's right. not happening. How do you find those things with your clients? And what is that next step once they find their why to get them motivated?
Oh, great. So after you get a sense of your why, and I say get a sense of because, you know, your why might change, it might evolve, but at least enough to get you motivated so you start getting ready to take some action, is then you start looking at what is stopping you. And sometimes what is stopping people is what's between their ears. Maybe they don't believe that they have what it takes to do it, or maybe they're because we're never going to go past our self-concept, our self-image, and our self-identity. And so we have to stretch that. And that's a whole nother conversation we can go into. But it's that, what's going on mentally that might be stopping me? Do I believe that I can do this? Do I believe that what I'm going to invest in is going to work? And when it comes to, like, when it comes to investing money, if I go and say, I'm going to invest, I've saved up X amount, I'm going to go invest, you know, go to invest this. I've got a couple of options. I can either do a massive amount of research and spend all my days becoming an investor, which I'm not going to enjoy doing, or I can find a trusted source and say, you know, here's the money that I've saved. Let's start doing something with it. So with that, with your money, even you've got to find something that you're weighing. What do I enjoy, as well as what's the ROI on this? So it's the same thing with your wellness, where you're talking, let's use your example of the exercise. Your body doesn't care how it moves. It just wants to move. So you've got to say, well, what am I going to enjoy? What's going to give me enough ROI that it's worth giving up the comfort and the pleasure of, you know, just sitting on the sofa or whatever an alternative might be, or for you working on your business. So for you, it's going to be, you mentioned gymnastics, right?
Yeah, I love like all that sort of stuff, like tumbling and classes, you know, even just taking Pilates, yoga, Zumba, like I love dancing, all that
beautiful
sort of stuff.
Yeah. And so for you, it is like, if we were coaching, I would say, let's find, first, we've got to find the time. And it's not just going to magically appear. It is going to, this is part of the investment, is the finances of, okay, I'm going to spend the money on myself to do this, whether it's joining a class, hiring a coach, things like that. But it's also the investment of time, that I'm going to find where in my schedule I can move some things around. You know, for you, you've already got Friday set up as personal growth day. And so let's find another couple of days that you can go to a class, that you can, and also overlapping with other things that you want to do anyway. So if there's, like, I got one client that she's got friends all over the world, and being able to catch up with them on a phone call while walking, that she's like, I get to catch up with my friends. I get to get sunshine. I get to, which is a huge boost for energy. Great thing to invest in is just getting outside in the sun and get my walk in and get moving. Helps my brain, helps my body. Like, hands down, that's a huge win for her.
Yeah. So I had a really good portion of time there when I was getting up early and I was listening to podcasts while I was walking mm-hmm. the dog in the morning, because he needed the walk, I needed the walk. And it did fall off. And I think that sometimes when you do start incorporating new things, so meditation has been huge for me. And I know that you're probably an advocate of that as well. There's many things. I just find like I had, and I started doing home workouts and really changing my diet. And I felt like the workouts fell off first because mm-hmm. it wasn't, I mean, even it was only 18 minute workouts, but every day I was like, I was in it for a whole 2 months. And then I had to go and do an event and I was working 18 hours, came home, whatever. And then the diet mm-hmm. fell off. But I did keep with the meditation. I still do that every day. Do you find that you have to? Thank you. Do you find that you really have to get something substantial first before you move on to the next thing? Because then that's why the other thing fails.
Oh, okay. I have a whole switch framework of helping people switch habits. This is one of the talks that I give, and it's also something that I work individually with clients on. So let's take 120 seconds and run you through the framework, real high level. And think about, as I'm saying these things, Debbie, in terms of that experience in your life. So the first understanding of the switch framework is just the understanding, the grasping, the acceptance, as much as we don't want to hear what I'm about to say, the acceptance that a lifestyle switch, like what you're talking about, takes 6 months. We want to think that it's 21 or 30 days, but it's not. For it to become where it's not Debbie who exercises, but Debbie the exerciser. It's not Debbie who, it becomes part of your, and it's not Debbie who meditates, it's Debbie the meditator. It's who you are. To make that shift takes about 6 months, and there's tons and tons of research to back this up. So what that means, it's not a good or bad thing, it just is what it is, but what that means is these things in the switch framework, you need in place for 6 months. Because things are going to happen. You're going to go to a conference and work 18-hour days. And that is life. That's part of Real Wellness, which is the name of my podcast. It's that's life. That's going to happen. But what do you have in place so that when you come back, you're able to get right back into it until you've made that six-month mark? So the S is a seesaw between benefits and barriers. The benefits, that's your why. That's digging into your why. The barriers, that was your second question, actually, was what are the things that stop people? And it's what can stop you is I don't enjoy it. There's a crisis that's come up. You know, the barriers can be varied. And so walking through what your barriers are and overcoming those. The W is wow power versus willpower. We cannot willpower our way into wellness. It's got to be enjoyable. It's got to be something like that class you were talking about. It's like, I do not want to go to the gym and lift weights. Well, cool. Go to a body pump class where the music's jamming and you've got people around you cheering you on. The next one is an I, is immersion, and that is in your environment, do you have things set up so that it's easy? Like you were talking about nutrition, immersing your environment so that it's easy to grab healthy food versus fast food. And there are ways to do that. So immersing yourself. T is team. That's your accountability. That's people that are cheering you on. That's people helping you. That's where a coach comes in because you can make, anybody can make any of these investments in themselves that they want, but it can take forever. Like a little side journey, I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor because I started on my first diet when I was 9 years old to lose 2 pounds. Not because I needed to, but just because that's what the people in my family did. So I created this horrible relationship with food. And by the time I realized this is jacked up, this is not working, I was in my mid-20s. And it took me, I would say, about 10 years to get out of the diet mentality and into a good relationship with food and healthy eating. I'm able to get clients there in three months because I've been there. I've got the training. It's faster. They're not making the stumbling mistakes that I made. So your team needs to have on it whoever you need, accountability partners, coaches, whoever. The first C is a micro commitment. So we're going to do this for you right now. You were talking about it can be exercise. It can be any of your wellness habits. What's a wellness lifestyle piece that you would like to start investing in yourself in?
Mine would definitely be consistency.
Consistency and healthy eating. What is one aspect of that that comes to mind? It could be anything from drinking water, eating more veggies, whatever.
Probably eating more veggies or eating, making sure I'm eating the amount per day. I did intermittent fasting for a very long time. I'm not really a breakfast eater, but I am finding, as we just talked about with the hormonal changes and all that, that the 5 small meals a day is probably going to be better for me. I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It did work a little bit, but getting back to that habit and having the healthy. And making sure I'm eating breakfast. I'm drinking, you know, but yes, the 5 meals a day. Sorry, that was
great. That's great.
Yes.
All right. So let's take 5 meals a day. We'll take that as the thing. So when we say healthy eating, that is a heck of a lot of broad stuff that it could mean for you. So being able to define little pieces of it. And by the way, I need to back up on the 6 month piece. The 6 months doesn't mean I'm going to take this one tiny little sliver of a habit, like 5 meals a day, and do that for 6 months and then add something else. No, that's where that would, you know, it would be 30 years before we form these habits at that point. But it's where, when you're looking at the overall picture, that's going to be a 6 month journey. The something like the 5 meals a day, that is really more of the, okay, for maybe for the next 3 weeks, you say, this is going to be my priority. And a micro commitment for that is something you know you can do, even on you're working at a conference and you've got 18 hour days. So as an example, and then I'm going to turn it back to you and let you brainstorm just a little bit on this. And everybody listening, use your own example and brainstorm through on yours as Debbie and I are talking about this. So a micro commitment could be that I am going to touch food or set out a plate 5 times a day. I don't have to eat, but I have to train my brain that there's 5 times a day that I'm supposed to be eating a little something. For somebody who, if vegetables is what they're saying they want more of, cool. The vegetables need to be on your plate. You don't have to eat them. They just need to be on your plate. Other people, the micro commitment might be, when I go to the grocery store, I'm going to make sure I buy frozen vegetables and put them in my freezer. If I eat them, great. If I don't eat them, they've not gone bad. But it is a micro commitment, something you know you can do no matter what. So you're shaking your head. So I'm thinking you've got a couple of ideas going through your mind. What is a micro commitment for you?
Mine might be actually setting a timer.
Oh, I like that.
Mostly because my schedule, you know, being an entrepreneur and everything, you kind of take a meeting in the morning for coffee, and then I've got to get kids off to school, and then in order to get my meditation in, that breakfast falls off. So I definitely need to like have the timer set, as well as maybe in that timer or what the food is, what I can actually have, like set that out, knowing my week and knowing today is going to be a day to have to run, maybe have fruit ready, like a bowl of fruit ready or something. Because I was getting to the point where I was like, I had to make the egg and the toast and the chicken sausage and the avocado. And I was like, God, I'm getting all this stuff and this is so great, but that's not sustainable. Yes. I cannot do that every day. And maybe getting towards this, it's like the meal planning. I think that's more about why I fall off is, you know, you have like right now we just ran out of strawberries and apples in the house. So like I was going to have something for lunch. My daughter just ate it all. Now it's like, now when's the next time can I go to the grocery store? Now all I've got to eat is, you know, chips or something. You know what I mean? It's having, if I was able to meal plan a little better and knowing what I needed for the week, I think that might be what I need to do, is more of those like the timer and the meal plan.
So to what, I love everything you said. And to that, I would say your goal is to do the meal planning, to have the food available, all that kind of stuff. Your micro commitment is the timer going off. Because if you're in the middle of an 18 hour day, because you want something that you know you can do no matter what. So if you set that timer and it goes off, even if you are in the middle of a meeting and you had your child eat all that you had planned on eating and you're about to rush out to do something, you know, it's like all that, you might not have time, or all you may be able to grab is a granola bar. But the timer went off to remind you, I need to fuel my body. Mm-hmm. So the next C in the switch framework is, do I have the confidence that I can do this? And by setting yourself up for success is one of the things that increases that confidence. And the other is looking back on other victories, things that you have overcome and accomplished. And then the H is hyper focus. And that is what we're doing with this, where you're saying, okay, for 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to focus on getting my meals in. And then once I've worked out the kinks in that a little bit and it's working a little bit better, now I can add the next thing. So that's an overall framework of when people are struggling to make that investment in themselves, and it's try and fail, you don't want to try and fail, because if you try and fail, it's going to start teaching your brain that I can't do this. You want to try and learn. So it's like, oh, I tried it.
Right.
This particular version didn't work for me. cool. What else can I try?
Yeah, that's so funny. I just commented on something someone posted on LinkedIn today, and that was exactly what I even said. It was, you don't fail. You try and you learn. You learn from your mistakes, and there's no mistakes. There's only growth. And I'm a huge believer in that. I'm a learner. I love, but like there are just certain things, like especially in the meetings and events industry, our schedules can be so crazy. Like I said, I was doing so well, then went on an 8-day event, and I had my snacks. I literally had more packed snacks and all that in my suitcase than I did clothes. And I made sure that I ate my oatmeal in the morning because that was easy. I had I do that right before I left, so I wasn't grabbing the food on the buffet. And then I had my almonds with me throughout the day. And I was really doing very well and making sure that the meals that I ate, that I wasn't overloading with bad things.
So let me go ahead.
I was going to say the hardest thing was actually coming back and not having food in my house because nobody had grocery shopping. And that's where it fell off. And I think, going on vacation is another thing. I think that you get off track all the time. And like you said, like, how do you make sure, even if you have that week on vacation, you really want to enjoy yourself and not have to think about it when you come back? Mm-hmm. It's the coming back for me is how do you stay on when you just like,
yeah, you just, well, came you've back actually from answered it yourself in twofold. One, it's try and learn that, okay, this didn't work for me last time. What have I learned from it? You've learned that you need to have groceries in the house. So for that very specific scenario, it could be before I leave for vacation, one of the things on my to-do list is do my meal planning for the week when I get back and go ahead and get a couple of things that I can have in the pantry or have in the freezer for that first day or two when I'm going to be too wiped out to actually go grocery shopping and do the food prep stuff. I want to give you some encouragement on the specific scenario you just talked about. I mentioned the 6-month window. I remember a client came up to me at a gym. I was a trainer at a gym, and she came up to me, Debbie, so excited. And she was like, oh my gosh, this thing really works. I said, what are you talking about? She's like, this 6-month thing. She had been always an on again, off again exerciser. And she had gone on, she was in a business leadership role, had gone on a 8-week, 10-day business trip, schedule completely thrown out the window, exactly like what you're talking about. That's why this reminded me of her story. She got back in on, I think it was a Sunday afternoon. She packed her gym bag. She packed her lunch. She packed her work bag for the next day. She goes through her work day, eats her lunch versus going out and grabbing whatever out of a vending machine. She's in the middle of her workout when it dawns on her, I'm working out. How in the heck did this happen? It didn't even, like, I didn't have to put up post-it notes everywhere to remind myself to do this. She had just crossed that 6-month window of trying and learning, doing different things, getting it into her identity. So she goes on this trip that totally throws everything off. She comes back and she falls, just like brushing her teeth, she falls right back into the habits.
Wow. It's very much like anything you do in life. It's about creating the habit and understanding that it takes a while to get the habits. I mean, I do agree with you. One of the things I did want to touch on briefly was definitely like diets. I think that there's so many things out there and supplements and things that are those quick fixes. And this is why your body's doing this. How can you tell people to like discern from certain things that might be more harmful instead of the quick fix? I know that, it's hard for women who've had children or a little older. Like I feel great everywhere in my body except like the pooch, like that's where I had the kids. And like, there's no exercises for it. Unless you know one, please tell me. But I feel like I like everything else about me except that. And it's a constant like reminder of, gosh, I don't like that part of me. I've never had that before. But then it's also, I like, that's where my kids lived. That's why, I think that sometimes we get caught up in society on looking the best and we do these diets because we feel like they're going to make a difference. What is your suggestion on or advice on how to kind of get past what the shiny new object is to help you and really get into creating those habits?
So specific to diets, You've hit one thing, and that is body image. So doing one of the things I work with my clients on is a lot of self-compassion work, because we know that beating ourselves up, like when you are looking at your belly going, this is where my kids lived, there is a lot of love there and a lot of love for yourself there. And it's much easier to make transformation that you want to make than it is somebody who is looking at that and beating themselves up. No good ever came from beating yourself up. So with diets, you're asking about discernment on diets. You mentioned the word quick fix. If it is promising a quick fix, it is going to fall within the 98% of rebound, because we know statistically, no question about this, 98% of people who lose weight gain it back plus some when they do it via a diet. That is just how, that is the nature of diet psychologically and physically. There's tons of research on that. So the biggest thing is listening to your body, eating when you're physically hungry, not eating when you're not hungry, which means this whole emotional eating thing we'd want to unpack if we needed to. Looking at really enjoying your food, eating mindfully. We know that when we eat distracted, we eat 10% more calories than what our body needs. So, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but for a lot of people, let's say somebody's on eating 2,000 calories a day and they only need 1,800. For anybody who's listening who doesn't know calories, ignore this part of the conversation. But the point is, that's enough to where you're losing a quarter to a half a pound a week, or in the other reverse of it, gaining that if you're eating distracted all the time. So all that to say, listening to your body, having discernment. And if you need discernment for you specifically, like somebody's got a medical thing going on, or they've tried something and they realize, oh, now that I've hit, for the women listening, now that I've hit menopause, things are shifting in my body. What worked before doesn't now. You know, there's a certain amount of protein you need. There's all these things. And that's where, going back to team, getting a coach, because you can try and fail, try and learn a long journey, or you can get somebody that says, okay, this is what's going on in your body. This is what you need. Let's start phasing this in.
Awesome. I think my last thing was, guys, it's just a vision that's coming into me, is like the piggy bank. You know, like we talk about the investment into our money and all that. Is there like a piggy bank that we can kind of create for ourselves that we can put the investment in, like on a daily basis? You know, they say if you save $8 a day, you'll have this much. And it sounds like that sounds easy to do instead of doing, you know, the monthly or the yearly. What are those small investments health-wise you can make that can be put into
this is such a great visual. I love this. I'm going to make some kind of post out of this. I love it. So number one, water. Making sure that you're drinking plenty of water. Keeps your brain hydrated, flushes out, you know, in your, it's just, that's a have to. Getting enough vegetables, five ideally or more, because of the gut-brain connection of how that is going to help not only your digestion, your gut, it's going to give you all these different nutrients that you need. And no, taking a pill is only going to do, like a multivitamin is only going to do a tiny, tiny bit of that. So getting enough vegetables and movement. Move your body. When you are standing, you are much more productive than when you are sitting. The blood flow to your brain begins to decrease after 30 to 60 minutes when you're seated. So as much as you can stand, you know, interspersed, or especially if you can go for a walk, things like that. So those are three big ones. And then the fast one is sunshine. If you are needing energy, if you are needing an emotional lift, go outside and get a couple of minutes of sunshine to really boost your mood and boost your brain power.
Awesome. I can definitely use all those investments. I'm very good at my water usually. I have a standing desk, which I've definitely fallen off from using. I definitely have to get back to that. I was a lot more productive using my standing desk. I have a new deck that we built like right outside my office, and I definitely want to start utilizing that. Wow. So there's a lot of the things you were just talking about. I just have to be conscious of it and maybe make my little piggy bank, and per day, make sure I have how much I want to invest.
So here's a little fun idea. On that deck, do you have a bar top type height table. Okay.
No,
get
it's
a small
it's a
one
regular size
and
table.
Put out there. And that can be your outside standing desk. Just knock it out at one time.
Just put a, I can put a table on top of it. Yeah, I can do that. All of it. You get the sunshine, you get, yeah, you get it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I bring my water with me.
Yeah.
Well, Sherry, thank you so much. I love that we were able to, you know, when I thought about what investment was and when we got together and I said, you know what, I think I want to talk about investing in you and your health and how you were able to bring it all together and help us out. I definitely want to get people in touch. If everyone goes to our socials, you'll be able to get in touch with Sherry and learn more about her. But if you, you need to give a little
Absolutely.
Promo for where people can find
so,
you.
So LinkedIn, Sherry Traxler, T-R-A-X-L-E-R. My first name is Sherry, S-H-E-R-I. Facebook, Instagram, those are the three socials where I hang out. And if you've got questions after listening to this, I love, love, love answering questions as people are like, how do I do this or that? Shoot me an email, please. Sherry, S-H-E-R-I, at The Vireo Life. And we'll put that in the show notes, I guess, and how to spell all that, but The Vireo Life.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.